interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate changed, behaviorally controlled, energy starved, alien invaded, nuclear glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode of BTWRLM 523. As we move this thing along, and I hope you all are seeing, being free is not a spectator sport. And as I have been advocating, you get you behind the woodshed. In other words, you're going to have to defend yourself, and you bring these miscreants behind the woodshed and teach them what they ought to have been doing. They took the oath. We didn't. Those that don't have the oath don't have an opportunity to interfere with your life anyway. And so we have to look at this, I think, a little bit differently than I see lots of people doing it, as I've been explaining. Start to work out how and what you need to do in the objective basis. So it's not opinion, because you see, when you leave it to opinion, people get to interfere. And that's what the cancel culture works on. And there's a whole bunch of techniques around that. And for those of you that have been studying this at all, you know that. It's not even a question. And so to that extent, I would be speaking to the choir. Beyond that, even when you hear that, then there's other things that you have to be careful to do and protect ourselves as we go. And there's threats that come from outside. Everything we think is settled in the world actually isn't. If we think it's settled where we live, it's actually not. As we pointed out here all this time, looking at the encroachment from inside, the enemies from within. Why I speak to you about savings clauses. Why I even speak about going to objective basis, even though, for the most part, it doesn't seem that laws recognized by the judicial branches. And I've explained how that is working out, and that branch, at least, is occupied completely. And as I can extend it out, there's very few in the legislative branch that are not involved as well through their political affiliation. And so there's been a question, and I don't talk too much about the Second Amendment. I don't like necessarily to go to the Second Amendment, first of all, because I think it's an easy answer that lets people sit back thinking that that's what's going to be the answer. As I've looked at this, what's coming at us is not resolvable by the Second Amendment. And certainly not, if we look at Kobe Swindle as a measure, the 3/4 of the population is just not with, they don't think anything went wrong. But everybody will complain now in the after the facts, and all the anti-so-calleds will say, look, we were right. But in fact, I look today and they're not right. They're not right because everybody buys into that there was anything going on. And it doesn't seem like anybody else is pointing out, well, there was an objective basis that the officials failed before we needed to do anything as a population. And when we as a population didn't insist on that, we abandoned the law and they took advantage. The criminal will take advantage. And so we have this purported Second Amendment right, and you've watched the judiciary peck away at that, depending politically on how it's situated. Essentially, the Supreme Court would be situated, showing you right there, you don't have a judicial branch. We saw this back in the 30s when they threatened to pack and then pack the Supreme Court with the political persuasion of the justices that the president needed, which is part of where our problem starts after 1913 economically. Didn't seem like that the Second Amendment stopped any of that all that time as well, on top of it. And so I do want to start with a couple more stories, although I don't touch it too much, to show you there's encroachments going on and that you have to step up. Someone has to step up to beat it down, if you will. It's not something that's protected up front. We're finding that in court cases left and right now. You talk about a protected interest in a fundamental right, and no court recognizes it's protected before you got there. And that's a major breach. So if you don't have something that's protected before you got there, even though it was printed before even they got there, you are not living in the country you thought, and what you think is right isn't so. And this was a question coming here. Ban on guns for marijuana users declared unconstitutional. I hope I got quite a few listeners here. I got quite a few subject matters going on here for people to listen for. A ban on guns for marijuana users declared unconstitutional. Now, those of us that look at these fundamental reservations to the people would have said, no, duh. I say, why is it even a question? But here is the point in the encroachment that it was a question. Someone somewhere believed that because you smoke a weed, notwithstanding it may have a class 1 status on a federal level, didn't necessarily apply at the local level where there may have been no commerce involved at all. And that's the other thing. If you look at your state laws very carefully, it requires the elements of commerce. And that's how they get everybody to capitulate, notwithstanding the 98% conviction rate. And you better plea out, otherwise you're going to be treated harshly to send the message that these things pertain to commerce regulations. Your local use, if it's just local, never has been underneath a criminal sanction. But no judge would recognize a law showing you they're not judges. They'll claim to be. They'll claim that the guy behind the woodshed doesn't know what he's talking about. But in fact, you read very carefully. I think everybody can read the black and white. And if you read very carefully, you'll see that none of these laws actually apply to people in most of what they do. A lot of it attaches to typically one of two things, police power concerns, which is really the only thing, actually, or commerce, which is then a surrogate for federal. And I broached a bit of it last week that your local officials, where they take benefit from the United States government, are considered federal employees, essentially. And so their federal law is applicable. But here's a ban on guns for marijuana users. You'd have thought that that wouldn't be anything, but here it was. And it took a so-called U.S. judge to rule that the prohibition against cannabis consumers violated their Second Amendment rights. And so those of you that were thinking about that, notwithstanding what your state laws say now and all this other problem, you have to register to be a carrier, obviously, enjoy your Second Amendment right? Really? And we agree to that as a population? We don't agree to so-called constitutional carry. I carry when I need to, how I need to, is sufficient. And I'm going to have to say it again. The Second Amendment is not about hunting, folks. It's not about hunting. It's not even about hunting fish, as I've done before. And so we have to look very sternly at what it is. There's a prohibition against registration of the soldiers that would defend themselves against a government overreach by what the Constitution says and puts in the Second Amendment was for. And we have that as an antecedent right, something that existed before the Constitution was made. We also have that self-defense thing. But here we have a interesting, I'm finally glad to see the story up. It's been up on my tab for quite a while, but finally going to get to it today. A couple of gun issues. And then we'll move on to a more pressing thing in a way. Because these fundamental rights are not supposed to be touched, I shouldn't even have to talk about them. A federal judge has dismissed charges against a man accused of violating United States federal law prohibiting marijuana users from owning guns, ruling on Friday that the law itself violates the Second Amendment right to bear arms. While the government had the right to restrict gun ownership by dangerous people, it could not claim that Jared Harrison's mere status as a user of marijuana justifies stripping him of his fundamental right to possess a firearm. And I'll leave it there. And so we see us right in that statement. We see there's due process that's required. There's the presumption of innocence does exist at some level, even though you look around, you don't see much of it at all. The other thing is people don't understand is when they engage the government on applications or other benefits, no different than you see federal law being applied to a state official because they take a grant or benefit from the United States government. That's the same attachment to people when they do an application. That's the same attachment when they do something that's considered a benefit that's regulable by the state. And that's similar to going to a motor vehicle court and finding what constitutes a residence address. And it's typically taking utilities and benefits from the government. It's why most of the time you find governments prohibiting, unrighteously so, but prohibiting, let's say, off-grid use, because it's all about forcing you into compliance, into regulation. And we're not a society yet that says that's not going to happen no more. And Kobe Swindle was really maybe a letdown for me because I thought it was so clear. But still today, I'm still telling people you're missing the point. You're missing the point. All these so-called critical thinkers, those so-called experts, they weren't expert in how the law applied, apparently. And nobody speaks to it. So here we have another question that shouldn't have been a question answered, hopefully here in the right way. We don't know. Again, this lower court decision could go on and on and on at some point or in any subject matter. Another story here, judge blocks some of New Jersey's new gun restrictions. Some gun restrictions. Well, I thought it said shall not be infringed, folks. And so you see, we're not even living in the country that recognizes. They say, oh, it's like similar, you don't have a right to be a dangerous person. Well, they have made that up. Because when it comes down to it and the people decide to go to their arms to defend themselves as a body politic, the felons will be handed guns. So will the prisoners to defend themselves against a maladministration that put them in prison. And so there's a bigger thing that we need to consider when we start talking about these so-called Second Amendment. They're antecedent. They were just brought in to reserve that. And you can see how even though it was printed and reserved, it's been trounced. It's been conditioned. Oh, you can do it a little bit. I don't know of a fundamental right that has the ability of the government to encroach just a little bit. That's not right. Registering the future combatants, if you will, in their right to abolish a maladministration of government is not an army I want to be involved in. That's what registration is about, confiscation. They know where you're at. You know, they know what you have. And if you haven't looked at and seen the cognitive warfare going on in the fingers where the military has its fingers, where you watch the FBI having its fingers in those that would purport to be a militia and all, or any kind of a movement, even your churches, since the 90s now, you're deluded. We're out-positioned, we're out-manned, we're out-mentalized, I think. We're out-mentalized in the fact that we purport that words on a page mean function and success. So a federal judge on Monday blocked parts of the recently passed New Jersey law restricting where people in the state may carry guns, an early test of some states' efforts to pass gun control measures in the wake of the United States court ruling last year, expanding gun rights nationwide. Now, how does the Supreme Court have the right to expand the gun rights that were written before in reservation of the government itself, but they expanded it? Shows you there was at least a contraction, then it was unrighteous as well. And this is one of the main problems I have with all this. If I didn't have my other view about the judiciary, it's just not what we all thought at all. United States Judge Renee Marie Bum said that the state's new restrictions violated the right to bear arms guaranteed by the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. The law banned carrying guns in public libraries, museums, bars, and restaurants, and on private property without the owner's explicit permission, as well as transporting loaded guns and vehicles. I'm going to end there. Those of you that are in this know this. Those that you don't but are interested, there's a way to start. What are they doing with all this? You now see the supposed expansion, which you already had the right to do. And it took a new ruling from the Supreme Court. Where were the judges before to say this, that it took the Supreme Court? And all the filtration that goes on to the Supreme Court. Remember, very few, maybe 10% of all cases that need appeals get reviewed by the Supreme Court. And if you're someone who doesn't have an attorney or can't get one because they don't want to pick your case up, you're likely less than 1% to get your issue reviewed. And then we find out not even properly so. And those that are refused, you can see that the Supreme Court's not interested in even protecting jurisprudence generally, where it's been violated clearly. For instance, the Tulis case, fraud alleged. No fraud was looked at. Equity principles require the fraud to at least be addressed and then dismissed with a finding, with a measure of equity. The principles applied. Not one judge all the way up to the Supreme Court to try and get a review for that simple position, that fraud was not reviewed where equity principles require. Every fraud needs to be reviewed. Shows you that the Supreme Court's not interested in maintaining the most basic foundation of jurisprudence, I think, at all. I'll just reduce that to equity jurisprudence, at least. So here we have a question. Shouldn't have been a question. Oh, they're expanding it. Where does the Supreme Court have the right to expand? But that means they had contracted. And no judge before has been able to do this and state this based on that Supreme Court. Now, this judge is now given permission, even though the federal system is set up that the local district judges are the authority there. They're status quo when the decision's made. These judges didn't make that decision there. No, they got to go look at the court of last resort, they call it. And then I have the question of, is that really the Article 3 court? Are these courts going up Article 3? You've heard me talk about that. I won't lose it today. Into that area, that gets lost where people don't even understand. Most people have no clue, will never do it, and never make a record, never understand the type of obstructions that are in our way and occupations in our life. And that disturbs me a bit because I don't, until you start seeing this, it goes well and beyond an opinion. And then you have a different, when I had that, and my friends I know have had that, and people I've talked to do the basic work, the foundational work, your whole view changes and you start to see what the picture really is. And until you do that, you may argue with me. You may have agreed with me, but not move any further. You may shrug your shoulders. But once you see it, you also can't not act. It's partly why I keep coming week after week with all the hardships that are going on, and thankfully to a couple people that help keep me on the air in these times, to come back every week just to talk to people, to let them know there is something we can do. I don't know the efficacy of it all. It may take all of us eventually going to something more grand like the Second Amendment. I kind of doubt that's going to happen. And if it does, woe to be to anybody who has to be involved in that. Woe be to anybody. You're watching a little bit of the snippet of what's going on in Ukraine. The people right now would be like in the union, the more perfect union that was forced on us by Lincoln. That would be us, the people, would be like Ukraine being fed by the United States. That's fodder, because we, the people, don't have the organization that we need. And we attempt to get the organization, and then we're infiltrated by the occupier. So a federal judge is required to tell you what your fundamental rights are. Oh, we can carry more places now. Well, thank you very much, government, even though it wasn't in their hands and their jurisdiction in the first instance. Then how do we also give up the right, even when they have the right, when you have a right, and it's protected now a bit? And I don't understand if the New Jersey judge says that you have a right to bear arms wherever you go, your self-protection appliance, even against the government. You have all these public places to go. Why didn't that sweep the United States, essentially invalidate all restrictions on guns? Even the need to go get permission. I understand in Oregon, you have to get permission to get permission. How bad it's getting. And no one really says much. It's pretty amazing. Wouldn't stop your right to have it, but eventually the future runs out. The future doesn't have those weapons. I don't care how many they are. They also don't have the mindset that they need them. They're going to be protected, remember. Besides that, they're going to be jab harmed or anything else going on as they go through the indoctrination systems as well. So look at your future. If you have any progeny in the world, look in your future, because that's where this is going. But one of the ways that we can keep the Second Amendment in place and not have to mess with it is we can go to things called SMART. Smart gun operating on facial recognition goes on sale in the U.S. And so they start mandating these special guns, and people believe that's the only thing they can get, or you can't get other guns. Colorado-based BioFire Tech is taking orders for a smart gun enabled by facial recognition technology. The latest development is in personalized weapons that can only be fired by verified users. Sounds like Twitter, doesn't it? Anyway, so here we have, and you know SMART is programmable. So you get this gun, but you think it's safety. They mandate it because it's supposedly safety. It's verified users. Well, why do they want to verify the user? There you are, registrations, confiscation, and or tracking, isn't it? And so eventually the society starts to point themselves to these things. Maybe not you, my listener now, maybe not even a couple of generations, but eventually the pressure keeps coming. They don't let up that pressure. You don't understand as a people anymore what it's about. It's not a personalized weapon before. No, it's a self-protection appliance that's private. It's not personalized. It's not legalized. It's not legal entityized. It's a person relative to a subject matter in a statute, subject to that statute. That's why, on the surface, SMART would be nothing you'd want, notwithstanding the technocrats sitting behind what SMART is, to reprogram that. They can shut that off no different than they can shut off your FedCoin. Guess what? That's what will happen when they shut off their Fed coin and you don't have the social credit to continue. Because all of a sudden, dangerous means what you think. Moving on here, it's on and on. You can lose your ability to use the Second Amendment, as you can any subject matter that you thought you had a right to. And you adjust yourself over into something that's not actually what they're promoting, like your fiat currency. It wasn't specie. The state should have immediately instituted and never abandoned the ability for people to use specie. Commerce maybe can go along its own way, but people should not have crossed over across that Rubicon, because they're not going to win. Like Caesar, they won't win that fiat battle. In fact, we're watching the demise as we go, and the system itself as we go right now. As I say that very quickly, I'm going to get to some of that. I think we're down in the last year or two before the forget all the Fed coin and stuff, just the economy. Given what the dynamic is, we may only have a year or 18 months because of the way the interest rate stuff works, the ripple effect, it takes time. We're going to be watching that hyperinflation within a year, year and a half. And so people you better start preparing your food now, purchase things you need now. It's going higher, but it's going to go even more. I don't see how you avoid the fact that if they don't manage this right, and we're going to see a lot of mismanagement in the tabs here, that it goes into that hyperinflation. So you better have stuff before. I'm advocating you look at that for yourself and whether or not and what you need. And really think about how we don't know when we come to an emergency. We really don't. I don't know how many times I've had to see thinking I was fully prepared. An emergency hits and I forgot something. So I don't know how much more you can plan, but this is looking pretty writing on the wall for us. Again, you're not going to, your Second Amendment won't stop this, even if you have a smart gun. This is something, an attack outside of us, and because the people themselves abandon their most basic protections, and specie was one of them. And you see now, even though I've been saying that the gold, there's a ceiling for gold for a while that the market wants to keep down, someone's testing the upper ends of that in the last week. And so they're breaking it out, and that's going to show you something relative to the market and how we're moving it. So let's be aware of that. But the Second Amendment won't solve this economic problem. And so if you think that one of the vectors, the Second Amendment is an end-all, be-all, which I don't think rational people think are, we tend to lull ourselves into believing, well, when it gets bad enough and they start coming after us, I'll protect myself at my door. That's not how that works in that context. So you get rid of your gun, or they shut it off, or you are told that you can't have it no more, and you agree with that, like we hear happen in Australia for the most part. This is what you're going to be left with. UK man arrested after allegedly throwing shotgun cartridges toward Buckingham Palace. So you don't have your gun. You're just going to take your shotgun cartridges and walk them up to the palace, and you're going to chuck them at the palace door, and you'll be arrested anyway. And that's what will be coming of those of us that don't keep vigilant and keep the right to bear arms so that we can use them properly. But in other words, there's a pretty encouraging sign here. Never give up, folks. I mean, if you're down to your shotgun shell cartridges, at least take them down to the palace and throw them at the door. Show your rights. You know, give your last hurrah. When you lose your right to bear arms, you still may have your cartridges, and they still may work. You know, my mind says if I get a small enough cartridge, I can maybe use a slingshot, but same end. It's useless. It's not going to work. At the same time, they're going over time to take away and give us a lull that we can use our Second Amendment on things that are not, the Second Amendment will not be applicable, and we're not organized enough to use as a mutual defense of the population, the bulk of the population saying we've had enough with this maladministration. Because we believe there's a democracy that never existed, and these representatives do, and they don't. And that the representatives are not in offices of profit, which they're literally now evidence that they take profit in the regime that's now in place at the feds. Remember, now dictating to y'all that they did it in Covey swindle. They're going to do it. I noticed somebody's complaining about they're going after hunting and fishing. Well, that's states' rights as well. Why is that even a story? Everybody's afeard. Well, they got through a Covey swindle. They can do it now to wildlife. What's that doing? It's putting on the sustainable agenda. But while they're diminishing or moving your society into no ability to throwing shotgun shells at the palace wall, gun-toting wing of IRS wants to put the fear of God in people, says an ex-agent. As we heard about the 87,000 agents and all that, and you're watching a lot of money going into the IRS. They say it's going to go after the wealthy people. You know they're already implementing it, that it's not. It's after the little people. They're also going to diminish how much money you can have. They have been for time. I mean, it used to be they started questioning. No, there was no question. Then it was $10,000. Then it was $7,000. Now it's down to you do $600 and they want to know about it. And so they're coming down to, it goes down to that basic living wage, and they said that's all you need. Because remember, you have no property and you're going to like it, remember? Well, the gun-toting wing of the IRS wants to put fear of God. That is the mentality here. As an IRS service seeks to bolster the ranks of the weapon-carrying criminal investigation unit, a former special agent described the inner workings of the division and said its key function is, quote, to put the fear of God in people and intimidate Americans into tax complaints. Now, we could probably have a roundtable discussion on all this. I don't know what more to say. If that's their attitude. The fact, I look at that real quickly, and so you're not an American if you have a tax issue, because you haven't positioned yourself properly, and then when they come at you, you haven't done objective basis in order to say they didn't have a right to jump that chasm, because you're in production, you're in not taking the benefit of government, and you're actually supplying the government, and they want to make what you're doing a privilege, your wages, remember that's gambling, wager, okay, so there's a whole study behind all this. They want to put the fear of God in people. What kind of an attitude is that as well? See, that's just the intimidation factor to keep the rest. They go after a few people to keep the rest of your heads down, and you will. But this is a notice. While they're taking your guns away or making smart things that are not too intelligent, the government continues to build its forces. And we'll grumble. I mean, I do this somewhat of the same thing, but I'm not in a position to worry about a tax liability, and I don't know about anything that I do that would be. And so, to me, that's okay. They're not coming to my door. And if they do, I can also show that they're wrong. But does it matter when you have a judiciary that can care less about either law at law or equity? See, we're already behind the eight ball on this. And so the taxes are tied to an obligation, typically because of the benefit of doing commerce or utilizing, essentially, I just boiled it down, because you use the fiat currency. And they've outlawed everything else. And the states haven't stepped up to protect you, give you states' rights back to protect yourself. Some states are. They're actually instituting silver and gold coin again. But be careful about all that. I'm noticing they're causing, you have to be verified to be able to use it as well. You have to go to a central place that's the state to be identifiable by them in your transactions. So be careful on what they're instituting now that isn't a surrogate for the same failure. Again, underpinning a digital token with gold does not make the token different from what it's doing to you and changing your relationship. That gold is not given to you to keep. No, it's given to the people who are the creators of that system. And the creators of that system aren't managing it so good, as we know, but we need to kind of pay attention. I guess I bring this stuff up. What's it going to take before we start figuring out we really do need to abandon this thing we've been doing? It's been habitualized in us. I do it. I don't know anybody that trades in gold and silver coins. You can see now a $20 gold piece of the before the 30s is now worth over $2,000. A gold dollar, gold-backed dollar, is now $2,000. Shows you how much theft has gone on, how much robbery has gone on in just using the medium of a fiat currency. And that medium is attached to a whole other system that is manipulatable. And they get to the tail wagging the dog thing goes on as we hear Yellen warns of U.S. debt default, risks mass unemployment, broad economic weakness. I talked about this before. I want to bring it up as we go through and kind of touch this again. I think this is a pressing information that we need to look at. It may seem out there, but this is going to come back to bite everybody. If you're in that system and you can't see how to get out. And I don't know how I go from a dollar to 2,000 really fast. That doesn't even make sense to me, but that shows you why we should have never left, why states need to reimplement gold and silver, and we need to get back to where a dime, literal silver dime, buys a loaf of bread. And that's the real thing. That correlates relative to what it costs. The U.S. Secretary of Treasury has indicated the U.S. economy is at risk of mass unemployment, payment failures, broad economic weaknesses, and interest rates rising into perpetuity if the government defaults on its debt later this year. Now, I'm not going to say more about this thing, move on, that this is a political threat in that she also mentions they've learned from the past. But remember, 2007, 2008 showed that they didn't learn. They know how to kick the can down the road. As I said, toxic debt was monetized. So that's what gave them all the so-called liquidity they've been stuffing away to do this one. These are mismanagers of your economic and fiscal policy, essentially. That, again, the people have to notice this and end, not go down. This is a threat to raise that debt ceiling that the Republicans are quite fine with. Oh, if we have a few more cuts of the debt. Remember, this whole thing is all debt-based. You're looking at a stinking abyss. There's no asset here at all. It's all stinking abyss debt. Okay? This is what all this whole system works on. And they made it worse in 2007. They mismanaged that. That's why we're here today. And then she comes. So this is a political threat. That your jobs, I told you, that when the interest rates go up, they're after your jobs. Talked to you last week and showed you that Powell said the very same thing. They're into your jobs and they don't care. Their whole focus is on trying to keep the so-called inflation rate, which they are in control of. They're the cause of, and the fiat system is the cause of, that they say they don't have any other answer, but the answer is not within them. For the people, the answer is not within them, and we should be abandoning all of that, no different than I told you the sovereigns of the world are starting to see. But then Yellen comes out after that, they threaten your jobs and the businesses and such. And this is such a big topic, I'll never be able to cover it, and I don't even know if I'm qualified, actually. I can kind of skip through certain things, but it's such a serious problem that it will affect our lives here coming up as the world moves away and causes an avalanche of those so-called dollars out there to come back. That goes beyond what the Fed can do in inflation adjustments, and we get into hyperinflation, where we're seeing only 5%, we could be looking at, well, I hope we don't go to Argentina. They're at 130% per year. What they've done now is they've offloaded some of their stuff onto the new currency, and they're going to try and make a collateral type market so that they don't have to suffer this, as they're all seeing the problem with this toxic United States fiat. United States could default by next month. This is a real threat now. She comes back, Janet Yellen comes back and says, after reviewing recent federal tax receipts. Now you get back to the story before, why the IRS is coming to get more taxes, in part. It's going to help to stem that from you, not really the rich folk. The rich folk can defend themselves. You can. And the people that are not rich don't pay attention and have protection, right? So you're the fodder. You're the low-hanging fruit they're coming after. After reviewing the federal tax receipts, which is now a focus for them, our best estimate is that we will be unable to continue to satisfy all of the government's obligations by early June, and potentially as early as June 1st, if Congress does not raise or suspend the debt limit before that time. She urged congressional leaders to, quote, protect the full faith and credit of the United States by acting as soon as possible. This is a political threat. If you didn't think economics was politics, this is war. She's saying raise your debt ceiling. We need that control. Now, I want to know, actually, how is it if the United States government has full faith and credit, and you're not supposed to question, you can't question that debt. How is it that this country is at risk? It's an interesting problem. Because when you understand that what we're looking at here is deficit, we know as debt. They call it credit. It's not. Full faith in debt is what we're dealing with. Based on the back of the people, those taxpayers, which is not even the people, it's these entities. They're threatening to take out the United States, and they can do that. Why? What's the threat? Because a debtor doesn't have rights. And if you're attached to that, you don't have rights. And I've been asking us to take a mind shift and move into gold and silver. What's gold and silver but property, the very thing that they're not going to give you and you'll be happy with? You have gold, you have property. You have in your hand the history of somebody's labor to get that to you. Then it has all the things that gold and silver do that make it something that's made timeless in a way. They don't have control of that. Remember, I've talked about the Fed has to take gold and silver coin as an asset. It's completely antagonistic to this debt system. If you're in debt, you have no rights. And she can become a dictator. And they write down that, oh, she can only do certain things. But those certain things are pivotal. And they're sufficient to be able to have her come in and say, nonchalantly as it is, well, we may not have money here. It's not a treasury if they don't have money, folks, anyway. So this whole thing is just for our consumption and our confidence. And this is what they build. How, if the United States has full faith and credit to continue its debts, and that's true, if it is. I don't believe it, but that's what they're saying. It's given something to hang everybody's opinion on. How could they be in trouble? But it's the same excuse that they keep raising the debt ceiling. Instead of swallowing the hard, big, large pill, and you cut that debt ceiling. You get rid of it. Or mandate gold and silver. I don't understand a lot of this actually in depth, but it seems to me, after looking at it, that's really the only way out. We individually, as states, we go through and we start using gold and silver. That decouples the people from the future mismanagement. They know they can't do that because that exposes them to be the mismanagers of a fiat system that's obliterating people, that's destroying, that's plundering people. The thing they started in 1913 is coming to an end. It actually had a good run. I say it's coming to an end. I don't know how they come out of this. I've never seen a plan of how it comes out. I've never seen a logic. Whatever the lexicon they use to cover it up, I can't see the clear lexicon that keeps it whole. And so the whole point about this is, and we saw the reflection as we move on, the full faith and credit is being leaned on, threatened, leaned on the representative, so-called. The representative should be looking out for you, the people, not the corporations and the businesses, which are the commerce regulated by the feds, the district, again. The whole point about this mismanagement starts to come out. They said that Powell came out and said that your banks are fine. It's resilient. Remember, that's a sustainability word. It means you're done, folks. That you're resilient for their needs, not yours. But for us and the people, full faith and credit, and we hang our hat on how proud we are about that statement that was written into the Constitution. I don't think it's properly applied, but it doesn't matter. Well, we got full faith and credit. We can keep going. In fact, you can't. Now, what this whole thing is a big promotion, another cognitive warfare, psychological warfare action to keep your confidence. And this is what we find in this next story. As this week, the whole thing starts to roll out and turn out again. The monopolization starts to happen. You see this right in the news as well. We have a PacWest. They were looking, who's the next domino to fall? Well, the people that do this and understand what's going on, the investors, the people that inflame the economy to make it fraudulent, to play with it at your expense. Ultimately, the taxpayer supposedly pays for it, too. See, the IRS is going to... The taxpayer pays? The taxpayer... The IRS is coming after the taxpayer, and the taxpayers are all broke? No. They've got a whole plan. A few taxpayers are going to be immune. This is a monopolization as they move that plan forward in that fiat system. The people need to decouple from it. PacWest, the next domino falling and fell, but Western Alliance shares tumble based on PacWest problem as U.S. regional banks' fears persist. So we're still rolling into the regional problem, which is going to be where it starts to fall apart for everybody. Shares in the U.S. regional bank, banks, PacWest Bank Corp, and Western Alliance Bank plunged on Tuesday as the demise of the First Republic Bank triggered investor concern about the financial health of other mid-sized lenders, and the price of gold just went. I think there's a game going on. Someone decided they were going to make the new high for gold. I think this was a play just to watch it. It probably didn't cost them anything. They did the push and call thing, the put and call thing, and they probably pushed it up past $2,070 just to see that spike, and they did it twice. But they would have, if they put their own call on that, or put on that bet, if you will, they would have got the, all that would have cost them was the fees just to see that spike, because that's a mental top right now at $2,070 an ounce for gold. They've hit it twice. But it's now being beat down again by the market play. After they claimed, Powell and Yellen said, oh, we're resilient, we can sustain this, they're starting to domino. But who's the beneficiary? Certainly not the taxpayer. J.P. Morgan Chase agreed on Monday to acquire a majority of First Republic's assets in a $10.6 billion deal after regulators seized the lender, which became the largest U.S. bank failure since the 2008 financial crisis. There's been more lost in these few banks already than there was in the entire so-called crisis in 2008. Again, self-inflicted wound on how that worked. J.P. Morgan Chase, they're one of the top. This is back now. We're going to anticipate a consolidation. We're now anticipating the monopolization I was saying here weeks ago was part of this whole thing. And they get it down to a few brokers that were going to be the intermediaries for that new token citizenship they're building. And remember, your token citizenship is not about even a fiat currency. It's about a relationship change that you are subject to the supposed liability to sustainable development and ESGs that the third-party entity that you're dealing with is subject to. They claim they're subject to. And so here we have the statement about what's going on here. Someone reflecting on this. I told you about trust and confidence. They go, if a confidence crisis can happen to First Republic, it can happen to any bank in this country. And I think you need to take stock in what they said there, because that's exactly what's going to happen as investors are moving their money to where they're going to make money. And this is the scam. Your gold and silver is really a no-investment medium because it's a pretty stable, over time, a pretty stable in value. And so they aren't playing in that for most people. They just put their money there for a moment, and then they go look for a place to make money. Right now, it's like money markets are running 5%. That's where the money's going, if I understand correctly. Although gold is being invested in right now, it's because the lack of confidence and trust in the system that's been set up by the investors, not the normal people in the street. So we see the dominoes about to fall. What? Based on what? As I've been saying, confidence. The investors lack of confidence. Well, American people are starting to lack confidence, and I think that's all a good thing. I want, in a way, bring on the match. Let's get done with this and get us back into something a whole lot more stable, at least for the people. If corporations want to play games, that's fine, but they should have never, again, commingled the needs of the people with the needs of commerce. And that just shows you maybe we never lived in the country that we thought we did. even though we'll spout about all our rights and think that the Second Amendment's going to stop it, even though we have evidence that that didn't work when Lincoln decided to make the more perfect union, which brought us here. Remember, there was a greenback, so-called, and it was supposedly gold back, and look where it's even from there. You know, $20 an ounce. Think about the disparity of the value. And yet, if you had it, look at you're actually sitting better than the commodities around you. They have gotten cheaper relative to that species. Why didn't we, as a people, decide to stay there? It's an interesting thought. I didn't know much about it. I certainly remember seeing even the half dollars that are silver. Had lots of them in my little hands, but never thought too much about it. Who knows about money? But we are now seeing why. We're seeing the fiat system, these managers, these mismanagers, are running our lives and destroying our lives. And if you're going to be on that ship, expect to drown, is all I can suggest, and have a very difficult time treading water. And it's going to be rolled out the way we see the timing. Like I said, it could go a little bit quicker, but typically these based in interest rates adjustments, it rolls out at a year or so, year and a half, delay, latency. So we hear now the truth. When they come out, and remember, these are people that have been managing your money since 1913. U.S. Federal Reserve blames itself for bad management for the SVB collapse, a thing that starts it. Remember also, they targeted crypto that was in some of these banks that wasn't the problem. Understand the dynamic for here. They don't want competition. They don't want you to have an out, and but they can't control the gold or the silver. So here you go. On March 10th, the U.S. federal regulators took control of Silicon Valley and shortly after seized control of the Signature Bank after both banks failed to maintain enough liquidity to honor customers' withdrawals. Is a lie. They took it, but they were projected lack of liquidity. Remember as we were reading that. But they say that the SVP failures demonstrate that there are weaknesses in the regulation and supervision that must be addressed. Regulatory standards for SVP were too low. The supervision of SVB, did not work with sufficient force and urgency, and contagion from the firm's failure posed systemic consequences not contemplated by the Federal Reserve's tailoring framework. If you don't hear mass control here of your system, I don't know what else to say that they admit after was mismanaged. They speak in terms of it as being a health thing, too, contagion. It's all based in confidence. They didn't keep people's confidence, and they weren't aware ahead of time on how to keep that, although anybody who looks at this could have made better decisions. Showing you these people are incompetent. They're running your country. They're running your country down. They intend to run your country down. And you will pay for it while they're making their mistakes. Kind of like practicing. All that regulatory stuff is you get to practice. And other people pay the price. And as long as we keep buying into that and have confidence and trust in this system, while they're telling you they engage bad management practice, their best practices aren't good enough. As long as we keep engaging that as a people, we're doomed in some regard. I don't know the depth of the doom. It's certainly going to be living in that stinking abyss of debt where we have no rights and we're going to like it. Well, else, what are we going to say? U.S. regulator urges deposits. And so the reflection is, oh, we mismanaged. Now we're going to have to jump in even more to regulate this stuff. U.S. regulator urges deposits reform to prevent bank failures after First Republic buyout. They're only urging, but watch, the dominoes are already falling. It's over. It's done. The things are happening. People are starting to run around trying to figure out what they're going to do to save their nest eggs. And a lot of this is pensions for y'all in your retirement, so-called. U.S. Bank and regular FDIC issued a Monday report posing three key reforms. Proposing, right? Still in the works. Still behind the eight ball here. Behind the tsunami. Three key reforms to the way deposits are insured at the country's banks. This is going to be changed into where everything's insured, but it won't be. Because they're going to run out of those so-called liquidity dollars in the future, as the dollars start coming back from not being used and moved through the world. After we need more regulation, we need to come down tighter on everybody, more regulation on you. As I keep bringing up the Second Amendment, they keep trying to regulate. There's only once every 10, 15 years someone says, well, you can't go that far, while we suffer in between, to a right that shouldn't be touched. Due to possible abandonment of our own assertion against that at every turn, let only a few people have to argue, instead of all of us standing up immediately to say no, SEC now gets involved. This was important about the crypto as well, to vote on boosting disclosures by private funds and hedge funds. So there's your investment. But private funds, now they're reaching into the private sector. This is not much different than the crypto. These regulators are using this to come in even more strongly to mismanage by regulation. And government bureaucracies are way too slow anyway. I don't think you're susceptible to that when you take hard currency like gold and silver. And I don't want to sound like I'm promoting it so much, but I don't know what else to do if you can get a hold of it and start getting people to use it. It just is different. Not ever having done it, I think this through and I said, well, if you have a stable thing, and I'm looking right now, man, if I'd had some gold when I was saying it wasn't going to break 2,000, it's hard time, and it's still, they're bouncing. That's like a battle line right now. Look where I would have been when I started saying, well, notwithstanding I have a gold mine and if I could go get the gold, but that the gold was at 1840, 1850, just below. Just a few months later, it's over 2,000. Well, the price of gasoline didn't go up that high in percentage. And so look at my buying power by gold. If I was using gold, I'm getting more now for the same amount of money. Specie, I should say. And so we can see a benefit right here if we had the people would have been in this mode relative to commodities and the messing around with the fiat system and the fiat exchanging systems and the commerce system. You're sitting pretty good, generally. And so to me, as I'm learning as we go, what I should have never abandoned, what I should have promoted all my life, was this interaction of specie with everybody, and we would be sitting okay. As a miner friend told me, he explained, diesel relative to gold, you're paying a lot less for diesel if you just had gold. And that made, you know, they're only paying, what, $5 or $6 a gallon? I don't know what it is now, but and gold had gone up $300 an ounce. And so the ratio using gold as specie would have been you've been paying less relative to diesel. We the people need to enjoy that. And it's what these people are trying to take us out of. But now with all this regulation, now we've underestimated our regulatory mechanisms, tailoring mechanisms. The U.S. Securities Exchange Commission will decide on Wednesday whether to adopt new rules for advisors to hedge funds and private equity funds aimed at increasing transparency, competition, and efficiency in the $25 trillion marketplace. Now you're looking at your future, those of you that may be involved, and it's the private side that they're having to reach over and grab. They need to regulate more. The trading halted in shares of Western Alliance, latest U.S. bank in trouble after PacWest. Now also the regulation, the other style regulation, as you halt the trading to cool down the trading, the speculation, the running, the bank run that happens inside the speculation system. Trading in shares of Western Alliance Bank Corporation was halted on Thursday as they plunged 25% in value after Phoenix-based lender joined Los Angeles-based PacWest and becoming the latest U.S. banking casualties in a system that Fed Chairman Powell said was resilient and okay, and we wouldn't have to worry no more, is what Yellen said. Folks, again, this is going to be tied to you at your home, if you use the FRNs, take benefits, you saw the COVID swindle, now all that got taken away. That was another stimulus for them to continue kicking down. This was COVID stimulus was another benefit, allowed you to take down. And then you realize some of you folks who are doing taxes are finding out that wasn't such a good deal. And I told you about that, and people coming in and complaining that they were being mistreated. But that's what you expect. You're dealing with the devil in all this. You have to get back to who's responsible for it, and it's us having trust and confidence, and we have to put our trust and confidence somewhere that's not exploitable. So we have this trading, again, moving down, and then the big boys come in, or gal, I don't know, they're gender neutral, I suppose. These corporations that had the liquidity, like JP Morgan Chase and all these folks, they come in and snatch up everybody at low value. But what you notice at $10.6 billion that J.P. Morgan got out of the other bank was all their real assets that have nice, tangible, solid futures. They're not based on these adjustable failures and planned adjustable failures. They say the tailored framework. You have to know that means that they plan for these mid-range banks to go down. That's going to reflect on the regionals, which most of y'all are probably more involved with. And there's a domino effect that keeps going. There's no way to stop it relative to people that are just trying to protect themselves in a fraudulent system, essentially a fiat system. Fiat. Think about what the word means. It's a consolidation here by the mismanagement. as I've been saying, these big banks, these big four or five or whatever, were going to be the recipients of the diminished value. Then they buy cheap. It's like doing this, you know, you bet that the stock market's going down and you sell your stuff when it's high and then you buy it all when it's cheap. Yeah, that game is going on right now with your entire economy, with the so-called bigs, I guess I've been heard it called. But these were the players. And it's, interestingly, the dual citizenship, dual interest seems to come in here. All these people are of that same persuasion. They don't mean the United States well. In fact, they're planning it to be not well. And we see that, and as long as we continue having these supposed confidence or even voting with our financial feet, if you will, our monetary feet, then they're gaining more power. And eventually you're put in a position where you can't do anything. And we will see people use the new digital system, which isn't even a fiat system. It's a totally different. And I've said it before, I don't want to keep repeating a lot of this, but you have to understand this is a relationship, like a business deal where you're not in control. Already, most people don't understand. When you put money in the bank, it's just a claim on the money you put it. This is debt that's owned by the system itself. You just, when you put the money in the bank, it's not your money. It's a claim you have against the deposit. Does anybody think this way? I mean, I really don't think this way, but that's what they say. That's what I look at. That's what it does. That's not your money. It's someone else's money you're using, and you have a claim for its return, subject to whatever force majeure is out there, actually, in the way they work that. But to keep moving here as we watch this resilient and protected system that's already, you know, we've got it all protected. First Republic bank bailout, part of a trend toward financial oligopoly. Okay, there we are. The big four bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, has been named as the buyer of the failing First Republic Bank. Economist professor and consultant Mark Frost and Robert Hockett, a professor of law and public policy at Cornell University, warned that they assume there will be only a handful of finance houses left in the U.S. Finance houses, folks. Listen to this. See, this is the thing about also the economy. They allowed this. They should have never allowed that these investment brokerages become banks. Remember that as well. U.S. finance giants are swallowing smaller regional banks with the help of the Federal Reserve, two academics said. And I think we're going to see a lot about this swallowing going on over time here. And so this is an acknowledgement that what I was saying, and again, not just me, if you look at this, this is what happens. This whole thing is to monopolize the system and bring it down to a few players so that not many more people to work with, if you will, the people, corporations are people too. The fact that that is the system that was planned in the future, the tailored framework was made to do this, should send shivers down our spine as a nation, actually everywhere, because this ripples out to the whole world. And Robert Hockett says here, relative to what's going on, it's relative to buying these shares, relative to picking up this so-called failed bank. And you think about, why would you do that? When the shares are going from $200 in a share to two, what are you doing? Well, you're high grading, just like they did in the Depression. You send the word out that there's a bank run, the values plummet, and as J.P. Morgan Chase would be sitting there grabbing all the value now at pennies on the dollar, literally. That Robert Hockett said that the bailout from J.P. Morgan Chase on this bank did not come, quote, out of the goodness of J.P. Morgan's heart, but was part of a gradual monopolization of the financial sector. And so I don't know about being a professor of economics, but it occurred to the guy behind the woodshed, that's exactly what has to be happening. We now have a professor backing that up. And I say it could not have come out of the kindness of J.P. Morgan's heart because it's heartless. It has no heart. Point made, though. And so we're being told what the future is going to be. And what we don't underperceive as people is this delayed latency of effect. We think it's everything happens instantly. We kind of get ourselves all wrapped and frothy about how it works out, but the system works like goo. It takes a while for things to go through it. You work in real time. They work over response time of how this ripples through the point. J.P. Morgan's being one of the banks being bolstered at this time. How are they doing with all this money? Well, it's that liquidity, the toxic fraud that they were dumped on with in the TARP payment type system where they monetized fraud and they could make up whatever they wanted. And what they did also is, I don't think it's appreciated, they insured that money as well. That's like a secondary fiat system, those insurance policies as well, running as money too, because those are contracts. Every contract, every promise of a valuable act that can be put a value on, it can be monetized, even fraud now. So J.P. Morgan's being focused on, I found this very fascinating. Why them now? I don't know, but they are in the news now, and we see this little thing. I'm wondering how this is going to go down. J.P. Morgan on the hook for Epstein's trafficking, says a judge. How's that going to reflect on their investors? Probably not likely, because no one cares about it. They care about the investment, don't they? They don't care that they're taking toxic fraud, fraudulent money to buy up a smaller bank to monopolize and become more powerful in the world. It's, can these investors make a profit? And no one is like, there's no heart, there's no ethics, none in this fiat system. If the bank's asset manager chief knew their client ran a sex trafficking ring, the firm could be liable. Banking giant J.P. Morgan could be held liable to the victims of deceased predator Jeffrey Epstein, who did not kill himself, in told. If they show that Jess Staley, the bank's former head of asset management, was personally aware Epstein was running a sex trafficking ring, U.S. Judge, District Judge Jed Rakoff revealed in a court on Monday, explaining why he refused to dismiss the case. Quote, if the allegations in the plaintiff's complaint are taken as true, Mr. Staley has actual firsthand knowledge that Epstein conducted a sex trafficking venture. We can read more if you want. I just wanted to also point out, you see a judge doing what they're doing on a complaint. You take, apparently there was a motion to dismiss. You take the allegations and the claims of the complainant as true. And so that's where you want to look at when you do this. You want to write to that. Apparently there was enough in this case to carry the idea that someone had first-hand knowledge and that needs to be interrogated. And the judge is then putting accountability on J.P. Morgan, a side angle. But here we have companies in trafficking, looks like potentially knowing it. And that's not really unknown, you know, HBC or whatever, HSBC, that whole corporation fraud 10 years ago. Again, all these bigger corporations, these now financial houses, have to be involved in all of that. And they have inside knowledge on everybody they're working with. Again, everyone's registered. Everyone's know your customer stuff. And whoever's running the backside of that gets to see all this. If you start to understand, the monopolization allows a funneling down of the amount of information they have to funnel through. And you're known. You're known to these money people because you're dealing in their creation. They've created it. And we've trusted it, and we shouldn't have, I think. I would say maybe some of you have a different opinion. Maybe I'd like to hear it, but I don't see how this has worked out very well. And I don't think how it's going to work out very well. But it is consistent with moving in everybody, the little people, if you will, into a more efficient economy where they can control you by your digital ID and your token citizenship. Now, so J.P. Morgan's again on the list of news to this week, and I want to bring back even something that I had on the tabs weeks and weeks ago, where we heard J.P. Morgan CEO calls for a redistribution of wealth. And I wanted to point this out because I just mentioned we're going to that token citizenship. That's under the ESGs. That is sustainable development. That is one of the weapons that we hear all universally of being climate change. That is what Kobe Swindle was to further. It's another tool and weapon to advance all this forward. J.P. Morgan CEO, I understand the military has been involved in that. So again, this is a kind of mind-blowing concepting here to try and get your wrap your mind around it all, but it's there. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon suggested a government seize private land to wind and solar farms so to meet climate goals. So these people that are getting monopolization privileges and taking over your local, your economy by taking over your financial houses and then rolling down of the sewage into the regionals that you probably not help you so much, has at their front line policy that you'll be subject to when you get into these banks that are being absorbed will be climate goals, will be sustainable development goals. You'll be subject to these things. And this guy's saying they want to take private property to institute more non-economical, non-green, so-called green technology. Again, it's not 100%. Anybody who gets into it understands that. It's got a limit. I think it's cool, but it's not the answer to modern, if you will, modern advanced societies. We need energy. Energy is essentially one of the guides on how you determine a capacity of a society. That it's going the other way to reduce the capacity, to cause it to be more expensive so you can't get it, shows that these people aren't into industrial policy. They're into fraud policy, and they call it green. Again, green is about money. They're going to be making money behind this. It had nothing to do with the grass and the color of the grass and the flowers and the leaves. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon has urged governments to seize private property in order to build renewable energy infrastructure, arguing that allowing the market to evolve organically will leave humanity with few options in the face of accelerating climate change. Now, I don't want to get into more than to say there's no proof of anything they're talking about, and so there we should leave it. Climate change he's talking about is political change. It's transforming your world, your political world, your economic world, your existence, your livelihoods, and you're watching them do it. And this guy's coming out, and J.P. Morgan, one of the oligopoly entities here, are telling you this is your future. We're coming to take your stuff when we say we need to, based on whatever reason. And so let's move into another part of the world that is likely being interfered with relative to the IMF and this and that, you know, the global structure that being used and imposed upon people. What goes on with this? J.P. Morgan is in the West. They're saying they want to be able to condemn your land for solar, and it won't end there, but that's where they start. Look at Kenya now. Kenya faults the West for making climate change a poor man's problem. Political change is going to be everybody's problem if you're not a J.P. Morgan. President Ruto said Africa is the least responsible for global warming, but the most exposed to the consequences. Because this guy must be jab hard. Although, I don't know how, Africa didn't get that many jabs. They actually believe in a fraud that's going on they can't prove, that there are going to be consequences when they don't realize the consequences that the political change that this financial system is bringing onto the world. In fact, I don't have the link. I'll talk maybe some other time. The United States, through subsidy, and I didn't get these tabs, showing you that these green issues have to be subsidized. They aren't able to go organically because there's no production value to them, which is what drives a modern society, if I can say so. Say the word modern anymore. They have to be subsidized. That's coming off a leverage funding. That's coming off your so-called tax bill some more that the IRS is coming to collect from you, notwithstanding what the representatives say is not happening. As they look down to your last penny, as the BIS is saying, we want to see your last $100 purchase. And, oh, by the way, you can't have more than your basic funding in your bank account. Right now it's been dropped to being alleged to be brought to $10,000. If you have more than $10,000, you're too rich. But global warming here, J.P. Morgan in the West is talking about climate change, and Kenya's complaining that they're making the climate change a poor man's problem. Well, it is a poor man's problem because it's a political change. It's transformation of your society, and there's a lot more poor people, poor relative to a J.P. Morgan. Kenyan President William Ruto has called out the West for pushing African countries away from fossil fuels, while failing to provide adequate financial resources for the parallel development of renewable energy. So there you go, there's your economic connection. If they don't get that bribe to go green, they're going to complain when they're admitting that fossil fuels are what they need. And they're not going to be, I guess, detached enough in their sovereignty to say so, even though I don't know how this world can go without fossil fuels, which are nevertheless not a problem. They are actually creating carbon dioxide. We actually saw evidence that when the anthropomorphic production of CO2 through the lack of production and capacity because of COVID swindle happened on the world, that the reduction in CO2 produced by mankind was drastic. Overall, global CO2 went up at the same time. Shows man has nothing to do with what the world, Earth, wants to do relative to natural systems. That carbon fuel that we need, that they admit that they need, that would be better in preference of the bribe to do green, which is actually making money for somebody, and you see the economic connection. If we don't get our subsidy, you're making it hard for us. And they never look to say, well, wait a minute, maybe that's a fraud, and you don't have the right to make it hard on us. But global warming, let's just show us just quickly a little interesting story for those of you moving to North America. Freezing rain leaves over 1 million Canadians without power supply. So much for global warming, Greta. Freezing rain and strong winds leave 1,134,426 Canadians without power supply, the data of Canadian portal PowerOutage.ca showed on Wednesday. And this is a couple of weeks ago. So don't freak out about your weather, although I'm noticing it's a bit cool early on. It almost looks as if the flowers are a month late, but haven't been paying too much attention this year. The situation continues to fluctuate, and conditions are very poor and unsafe as a result of bad road conditions, ice buildup and downed trees, power lines in many areas of the city. We'll stop there. All this global warming is bringing on this freezing condition, and I would say, Greta, like last week, there's a sun. Maybe all that extra energy coming into the irradiation coming into the earth is causing maybe more clouds and maybe more cooling as we vaporize more stuff and we're going into a colder time. We can't say the West is imposing anything on the poor man when the poor man in the West is being afflicted by the cold weather due to global warming, I suppose. So all this stuff is this economic mismanagement on purpose. All of this is experts saying they are in control when you hear the Fed saying they're a mismanager. And at some point, when you have a mismanager, you have to boot them, and we're not. And so the mismanagement ripples through the system as well. And we start seeing evidence that they don't know what they're doing, and at a global level. So when we see Kenya complaining because they're not getting their bribe to do something that's green money, not necessarily power, and affordable to anybody, or sufficient and adequate. We also see the IMF sitting flat-footed and dumbfounded about what's going on relative to this mismanagement. As we look toward now the IMF, which is where the Kenya would be looking to get their money, their bribe, to do these things. The dollar being gradually abandoned has been an ongoing theme in the last few weeks that I've been putting as a headline here. That says IMF boss. The dollar being gradually abandoned. Understand now, the dollar is a big deal. It's most of the economy of the world, and now we're just getting this little upstart, small percentage of alternative currencies going on, and she's starting to speak to that. Kristalina Georgieva says that there's no viable alternatives for a global reserve currency. Okay? And that's what she says. That is just, again, speaking from somebody who is a manager of money, where we heard the Fed, and the New York Fed is the driver of all this, just said that they admitted that they are mismanagers. She's looking at what they're doing. And she ends up saying this, Georgieva highlighted the major shocks of the past few years, the COVID pandemic, the Russian-Ukraine conflict, and the spike in interest rates after years of loose monetary policy, calling them a series of unthinkable events. She explained that the rapid transition from low to high interest rates has exposed vulnerabilities in the financial sector, and that the high exposure of the U.S. banking sector to crisis has come as a surprise to IMF analysts. Increasing interest rates a surprise? What it would do? No. These people are either lying to us, or they're that incompetent. And they're the ones that Kenya's complaining to about not being bribed. On putting in something J.P. Morgan says they're going to be focused on when you become their customer. And one day they're going to come to your property and say, we want to put a solar farm here. And if you're a rancher needing that money, you may not be ranching like you're watching in the Netherlands. You're buying farmers out and saying, there's no compete policy. You can never, never, ever farm again in this country. In the United EU, in the whole European Union, you're going to have to find somewhere else to go farm. But the admission here is the dollar is being gradually abandoned. As I've been saying, the world is done. She references COVID pandemic. That was the whipping boy for all of this. Again, the tools. She mentioned the tools of the destruction in that last statement. They know what they're doing. So if it came as a surprise, did it? That's a lie. They know what they're doing. They know that they're mismanaging. What the point is to put in more regulatory controls, like government wants to do. But all this mismanagement, and I don't, again, mismanagement in the context, it's a plan. it has consequences, and that's what she's speaking to. As I've said, watched, and what Russia triggered when it decided to act against the, finally, against the coup the United States put in Ukraine, is being realized. I don't know how we don't start paying attention, but over there, there's a Czech lawyer we have here, who rallies thousands to shake up the EU establishment. An upcoming opposition politician seeks to redraw Prague's foreign policy. A couple things on this that encourage, that I didn't understand. He's a lawyer. Why is it only a lawyer is enough to get people encouraged? And he's got a lot of people behind this and more power to him in a way. But what is this lawyer? Because we find out in the West, lawyers aren't necessarily the people we want to look up to because they're not here to help us. They're attorneys, and they're not necessarily people who know about the law. And I learned that in mining law. But there's certainly none of them in the United States have ever argued the proper argument against the Kobe swindle and to stop the people who perpetrated this by a dereliction of authority, not what the effects of what of the chemical weapon would be. By agreeing COVID was something and not challenging it, no official has ever demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency, a non-fraudulent infectious agent, as the law required ahead of time. But what's interesting is to watch that someone can instill enough excitement in people to get them to rally. And that's what I focused on more here. But what was interesting, he identifies exactly what's being admitted by the Federal Reserve, which we should be taking stock in. If someone foreigner can look in and see what's going on, if we haven't noticed it yet, and they're taking action before it reaches there or trying to, and we're not already acting when we're told already it's happening to us, we have a serious problem, I think, and we need to reassess this. But the lawyer's name is Rajchil. And he asserts that the government's financial problems there in Czechoslovakia aren't solely due to its lethal support of to Ukraine, which is just one piece of the issue. He goes on to say, the problem is that they are not able to manage the finances here in the Czech Republic. He also noted that the Czech Republic has the highest electricity prices in the European Union while being one of the largest energy exporters, which he said is completely absurd. For his part, Prime Minister Fiala has questioned official data published by the European Union on this, saying it does not reflect reality. And boy, haven't I just discussed everything that's going on with how they persuade us away in cognitive management, persuade us against reality. Granted, there's a sun. And these people, the sustainable plunder, the transformation of your society, don't talk in reality. They got you to believe the unreality. You believed in fiat. That's not reality. But he also points out they're not able, in the Czech Republic, they're not able to manage. When you're in a global system, that's the tailoring framework is mismanagement for an outcome of monopolization and control, would you expect him to say anything else, is a proof elsewhere that what I've been saying about, again today, for the mismanagement, and they know about it, is systemic to all people in the world, which is what the nations have now noticed, as I bring this on, when we move through, Raisi's visit to Syria heralds failure of West Mideast policy. We move here because this is where those dollars the IMF chief is noticing is being abandoned. As I told you, they're teaming up together, coagulating in their own blood clot to form a new center, if you will. And it's kind of amazing how this is coming through. And it doesn't come up instantly, but it also has been in the works. If you've noticed, a lot of the Arab nations are coming together now, giving credit to China. The pivot to China, folks. Remember this. It was not a military move. Obama set this up. Well, the United States, in reflection, for this whole thing to go ahead and occur. Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi met his Syrian counterpart, Bashar al-Assad, on Wednesday. Raisi's Syria tour has become the first state visit by Iranian president to the Arab Republic since the beginning of the Syrian war in 2011. And remember, the United States fomented that, like the coup in Ukraine. But it only took here a few years now, a decade or so, and they're coming back together. They're starting to see the bully the United States is, and their agreements now are starting to link up, and they're trying to do their own commerce. They're trying to do their own financial transactions. And this will be an internal thing, but when they get into the organizational structure, they're going to be looking for their own reserve currency. It'll may not be like the dollar, but they're not going to be subject to this plunder, this mismanagement to monopolization and control. they're going to decide to do it on their own, and they're going to make a separate system. As I've been asking us to, we have it written in our constitutions, we can go to that separate system. We don't have to make it up. We really don't have a bunch of discussion to have around this. If I just say this, have your all your states or mandate that the states go to specie or just start insisting on it and have enough people that start working with it, then I think we can start cutting our losses pretty quickly as we have to come to terms with our losses already because of the devaluation of the fiat versus what objective specie is. The Indian top banker Kotak calls the U.S. dollar world's biggest financial terrorist. Very interesting story. Again, what Georgieva is saying, we're abandoning the dollar, is because now people have the reasons why they need to. And no different than I've said, and I say the term bully in the world of the United States is, they should have never, the United States should have never politicized the reserve currency. This is what's causing the trigger. We have someone who's a billionaire who's saying, wow, we can't trust in that, remember? Why is a foreigner who's looking at a reserve currency that's a billionaire because of it now abandoning, removing himself from interacting with it? It's an example, I think, for us. The people. Indian billionaire banker and CEO of major bank, private bank, Kotak Mahindra Bank, Uda Kotak, panned the U.S. dollar as, quote, the biggest financial terrorist in the world, but soon toned down his remarks. He says, in the reflection, I suppose, before the reflection, I genuinely feel that the biggest financial terrorist in the world is the U.S. dollar. All our money is nostris accounts, and somebody in the U.S. can say, you cannot withdraw it from tomorrow morning, and you are stuck. That is the power of the reserve currency. He's already recognized what I told you is going to be your token citizenship. And it's gone, folks. You didn't meet what their expectations were. You're expressing something that's their liability that you have no right to do, and you get shut off, is, as I said, your reserve currency. You are under sanctions, domestic sanctions. You become a token citizen. That's your reserve currency, and they can shut it off. The billionaire is telling us something. Sunday, he said on Twitter, though, backed off just a little bit. This attorney must have got involved to soften the rhetoric about the financial terrorists. On Twitter, he said he had inadvertently used the words financial terrorist, explaining that his comment meant, quote, that a reserve currency has a disproportionate power, whether it is Nostra account, 500 PBS rate increase, or emerging countries holding U.S. dollars for liquidity. Boy, what a mouthful. It means that they're financial, the United States is a financial terrorist. But you saw the billionaire back off. Apparently, he went to go look at his books and how he's subject, even as a billionaire, and said, we better soften our rhetoric here. The point is, he comes out to say exactly what I've been saying in different words. I use the word bully. He used a financial terrorist. How else can it be when you have a mismanagement to an outcome that intends to indenture everybody in the world? And countries like Kenya is begging to be put in that mold where J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon says, we want to come for your land. We want to put green power to support the fraud, to make it look like it's something, and all that's going to be nothing but green to J.P. Morgan and those that invest in it, and those where they establish now the $1 trillion subsidy market to do so, if you don't think this is already on tap. Arab states call for withdrawal of foreign forces from Syria as we watch this coagulation now, the support of the Arab nations, it'll be Eurasia now, totally, when they pull this together. Abandoning the United States position, four key regional players have agreed that Damascus should regain control over the entire country. Again, this ends up being the sovereignty stepping up around to support another sovereignty. They're outing the United States for its mismanagement, if you will, its violations to international law, its distrust now because the United States politicized its reserve currency privilege, and recognized now as a surprise by the IMF chief, which is the one where they have control, the global control for the world, essentially. It's being severed here as these nations around Syria and Saudi Arabia, Jordan and Egypt and Iraq are meeting now to reestablish the rule of law on all of Syria's territory. So how much more this creates another point of war for the United States to make us forget that there's a financial problem going on or not. the countries of the world are no longer with it, as I've said, they're going to find an alternative. And you should too, I guess, is my continuing look at this, looking forward for us, we the people, essentially about everywhere, but for we the people of the United States, where the reserve currency nation is going to be, the people of that nation are going to be beat down bad, even if you aren't destroyed by it. Again, inflation rates, once the interest rates can't protect the returning dollars in a year or to 18 months when that starts to happen, there's really no answers other than escalating interest rates. They're not going to have solved the problem. Why? Because they had a bunch of toxic dollars that they couldn't hide forever. I'd like to point out here on this Syria story, while Syria's neighbors and regional powers have moved to improve relations with Damascus in recent years, the U.S. has not changed its regime change policy. And this, again, is the insult. And this is what the Biden regime and those dual citizen views, which are not conducive to the Middle East, are fomenting, and they're headstrong, stubborn, to look at what they should have done. And this just points to they have a plan. It's an overarching control problem that is a problem for them. Once people see it's a problem, people never see this, it's never going to be a problem. But I'm hoping that we do have insight as people to see it, end it. But before then, if we don't, and until we do, the people generally have a problem against these transformers of society through financial economic means, monetary means. And the way you decouple, essentially, is going to something that the founding fathers in the United States or anywhere in the world understood was a block to too much interference. You saw a president of the United States defeat that a bit in 1930s. They did it again in 1971. The people have to stand up again. The states have to stand up and say, that's not going to happen anymore. If the states are what the people think they are, and the people are the states, and they're the sovereign. And you can't do that one-on-one. You're going to have to get together to pull this off. We see that the United States is headstrong, head stubborn, not going to change as it watches this development going on. Because of that, it's an insult to everybody. It would be an insult to me. I just look at myself as one of those countries. There's a head of state that is just another man or woman, and they're not liking this insult. And they're deciding now it's time that they have to insist. Again, they have to assert their sovereignty, their power, their right, their obligations and duties to their people as heads of state. The U.S. grip on the Middle East slips and peace breaks out was an interesting title here, and this is the whole point. The United States is a thug, a brutalizer. It uses even money as a weapon, any weapon, any for any purpose, just to keep control, and the world is getting beyond it now. Washington's poor decision-making is starting to catch up with it as the nations choose to pursue peace without American interference. And so we have poor decision-making, bad management decisions. And the poor decision-making was to use bad management decisions to try and monopolize the control of the world, politicize finances that are across cultures, across governments. And that was the doom that was put into these folks that will admit that they didn't see something. It came as a surprise, folks. Will you allow these folks to continue making your life a surprise? Or do you start looking around? I don't know any other answer than to say this on this broadcast, gold and silver coin specie, this and that and the other. If you have another one that works, then we need to hear about it, or you need to start implementing it. And we start working to announce how to make that something that we're not going to tolerate anymore, just like the Middle East is starting to do. We want peace. We don't want this war to continue. And we're going to do this peace by taking away the weapons and the tools that foment that, which means we take away the mismanagers, we take away the fiat system, we take away their system that causes this ability to make it look like they have a club. And it's just a debt obligation, nothing all. There's nothing there behind it. Well, okay, we got the military. How long does that last when there's all of a sudden no money to pay for it? And maybe only so much to defend your own borders, which are being invaded. I understand Title 42 is lifting. You got 700,000 people supposed to flood into the United States. I don't know if you appreciate the number there, but 700,000 people that we're told, if they come in, that's bigger than some of our state populations right now. Anyway, so U.S. grip on the Middle East slips and peace breaks out. What an embarrassing statement for the United States, and they don't care. They're going to hold strong to their regime change attitude in Syria, which is regime change everywhere, even to Putin. I again, what else do we have to say? The writing's on the wall as to how bad this is, where this is going. And now I have to say we do have to reflect. I don't even have to worry about the carnival mirror that reflects back. This is the United States that's causing this to come home to roost, and we're going to we the people are going to be suffering terribly around it. And this is not a short-term thing. As I've said, they're organizing up. These other nations, the IMF recognizes as abandoning the dollar in preference to still more peaceful measures. As I said, China looked into the future a few years ago and said, we're going to reposition ourselves. We're going to move from the wolf, and we're going to move into peace. And they did. And they don't come with the promises of obligation. They come up with a checkbook of support to help these nations. Not as a bribe, but as a hand up, if you they used to say. Now, they have their own attachments, but it's not the same. They're a lot softer, a lot more peaceful. And people in other nations are conducive to that. Will SCO become new United Nations for non-Western world? The question, the Shanghai Corporation Organization, a Eurasian political, economic, and security bloc founded in 2001, has great potential to become a United Nations for the non-Western world, according to Robinder Sakchev, geopolitical and economic diplomacy analyst and founder and president of the Imagindia Institute. The SCO wants to make a meaningful impact in the world, then the boldest path is for them to transform itself into a new age global organization. Now listen to all the connections here. The future they want is right here in this discussion as they coagulate their blood clot and they go in their own direction to mimic the UN. So understand what I've been saying. Globalization may have been broken the links, but globalism is in the future. This is still moving forward, but who's involved? We think it's just Eurasia. In fact, they also say Latin America is involved. And that's important as we watch what's going on. As I've been saying, the privatization of the minerals, the nationalization of minerals in these nations for their basis of wealth, their ability to show wealth in hand like they do gold or any other material, a production, raw material that shows value in the world for the making of things that other people need. This organization has the ability to become a model mini-UN. You can put adjectives on it, but it's still a group of nations coming together for their own sake, on their own merit, for their own things. And I'm just going to say, if it's a UN model, we're looking at globalism, and they're attempting to make it look different, but it's going to be the same end. Regarding the cutting of the dollar and the benefits, as I've said, you can't take benefits, let's say, from the state to the federal government benefits, otherwise you become a subject to it. Mexico's realizing that. South America's involved with this new organization. Mexico's part of that, even though it's not South America. They're going to align with that as Mexico President asked Biden to stop USAID funding of the opposition groups in Mexico. So the curtain's been rent here. The nations are looking and they're realizing the United States has a lot of tools for the destruction of a nation. I've said and showed and explained USAID is one of them. When that Powell woman shows up, watch out. When Victoria Nuland shows up in your country, watch out. You're about ready to see a downfall. This president has actually found that USAID was attached to opposition groups against the government. And so the breaking here, the tearing here is absolute. They're not bashful now, as I said, to say, don't do this anymore here. We're not allowing you. Cut the aid. It just starts the process to start moving to wean yourself as a nation away from benefits taken that allow somebody to interfere with you. And this is what I'm saying about, again, the privatization of this production. This is now speaking over that someone south of the border, supposed to be our neighbor, understands they're being undermined by the United States through its so-called benefit and aid packages. So what I also found here, relative to the commerce of the world, it seems, on a story title, and it kept, again, speaking to the monopolization, and what do these informations that we see called news actually tell us? I saw this story. USAID is about food and things like that, they claim, but it ends up being a subversive type organization. You can funnel through a lot of insurrection through food and financing that way. But what's the effect overall relative to this economic downturn around the world, when systems are in fiat systems and you're subject to these mismanagers, essentially, or what I would say as well, managers to destruction of your people through proclaimed mismanagement, giving them another type of authority in your mind that, oh, they just made a mistake. They can continue. They got it fixed. They got it handled now. Well, they don't. It was never a mistake. It was never actually mismanagement where they keep going to the outcome they want. But what's the reflection for us? What we might be looking for in the future was an interesting title, but it turns out the story's not what it says relative to who's doing actually the complaining. European shoppers slash purchase of food and hygiene products amid inflation shock. Well, I said, wow, let's look at this. The Europeans are on the front edge of this, and I'm not saying they're not. What I'm saying is let's look deeper in the story to see who's really doing the complaining. And I'll have to make summary work of this, but look at what people are said to do, and you may have to look forward in the future relative to this story. Look at the type of food that's being cut, that you need hygiene products and this and that. Have those stored for yourself, as we saw toilet paper and that kind of stuff. But I started to think about this, started to look, and when you look a little bit closer, we'll just read the top to enter into the story. Residents of the European Union and Britain have borne the brunt of the economic toll of the West's sanctions crusade against Russia and the inflation hitting highs unseen in decades and skyrocketing energy costs leaving the continent on the brink of recession. Okay, well, look closely. Who they speak about complaining about this, the information they got this from, was data given by two giant household and sanitary product suppliers, Unilever and Procter & Gamble. And when I saw that in the second paragraph, I said, oh, well, this is just looking at their data. It doesn't mean that people are actually doing without. They're just not choosing the premium products at the big price. So for those of us looking at the future, you want to get after some of these things that they're talking about here. They're the first to be things that you will decide naturally to start cutting out, but look, that you're not going to be going to the big names. You're going to be looking for the generic products. You may actually go into having to fabricate your own. You may have to be making decisions that isn't necessarily what you would have normally did, but you're going to do with a different, same product, maybe a different brand. What I'm noticing in here is that this is a promotion against the business, the corporations whining about the fact that when the recession hit, the mismanagement of the global economy hit, they're being the first to be the affected, which brings up this other idea. You can vote with your feet relative to all these products. All this money, this fiat currency, is a product of the Fed as well. We can walk with our feet from it. Doesn't mean that we're actually doing without. They lead the headline that everybody's not doing so well. What it looks like, people aren't doing with what they used to do. They're deciding different. On the subject matter of what they have to decide different on is something I think we need to learn so that we can anticipate that future for us. Let's look ahead. Some of this stuff may not be so available. It may actually start to go up in price because the corporation's looking for a profit. And at some point, they can't meet it. You're just not going to pay for it. And now they're stuck like an SVB would be. They're looking at the future that says, well, we have to make it. It's costing more money, but we're not going to get the money for it. And so be careful. Someone else's problem is maybe not your problem. We will be fine. We're going to just have to look ahead, and that's what I'm asking us to do. Look ahead. Get ourselves in a position that isn't going to be as vulnerable. And so what did Russia do? As I say, keep looking at the sovereigns. They're not complaining. They're actually feeling pretty proud of themselves, and I think it looks like, on the surface, that that's the case where Russia gold production soars. Western sanctions have led to an increased demand for safe haven assets in the country. What's safe haven? Lack of investment. Lack of money on top. It's just a nice place, safe store of wealth that weathers the climate change. Russian gold miners boosted output 26% year on year in March, according to the latest data from the federal state statistics. No more said. More production and the price of gold is still going up shows you that the Western fiat system is a manipulated system. And this price is being suppressed as well. I can't see how else it would be. Meanwhile, the production of the key metals, silver, platinum, and palladium in Russia rose 14%. As I said, the sanctions of the United States, the bullying, the financial terrorists, the United States has become politicizing the reserve currency of the dollar. The privilege of the reserve currency is like spitting into the hurricane, and Russia, a sovereign with raw materials and production, their stuff soars in value and demand. Remember, and the central banks, the head of all this, that are causing the problem, are buying that gold somehow. They're supposed to be sanctioned. It has to do with the fact that the gold is not sanctionable. Eh? And I want to remind us here, what started this all? The self-inflicted wound, supposedly we're supposed to put on all this, the 2014 Odessa tragedy, 9th anniversary, remember. This is the 9th anniversary of when this thing really started, that the United States actually began, relative to its coup. And I wanted to have two links for us to be reminded, short stories you can read through it. May 2nd marks the 9th anniversary of the tragic events of Odessa, for which Kiev never allowed an independent internal investigation. The tragedy was preceded by the Euromaidan coup in Kiev on February 2014, when the Ukraine's democratically elected government was overthrown by political forces touting integration with the European Union and NATO at the expense of ties with Russia. Within hours of taking control of the legislature, the coup leaders nullified the ability of the country's regions to keep Russia as a second official language, stripping millions of people of their language rights. If you read the story, it's tragic. The people in that building were run into that building. They were just protesting some oppression. They were run into the building, and they said the mob set that building on fire, burning everybody up inside, and anybody who crawled out, they got beat to death. That's what starts this, based on the United States government's interference with a democratically elected government under the collar, the fraud, that they were protecting democracy. And then another link here to remind us, written here just recently, Putin explains causes of tension with the U.S. Russia president cited Washington's use of color revolutions, such as the 2014 Maidan in Kiev. Understand also Odessa, where that happened, the tragedy happened, that has not yet been taken by Russia. I understand it's on the list as they move this thing along. Someone would say that Russia's not doing so well. I think they're taking a measured approach on all this. And so we'll see. I don't know either way. I just find it atrocious that the United States would claim to be a democratically honoring country, and they don't. They took their privilege in a financial privilege of reserve currency and used it as a bludgeon so badly that other nations looking, I don't want to be bludgeoned, and we better group up together to protect ourselves from this psychopath in the world. And just to my mind, the diplomacy that I was growing up, that we're supposed to do as a nation, that we were supposed to be, has just been destroyed in my mind. The little guy that wants to think about all that, and thought that was a big deal and that's what you do. Yeah, I'm not prepared to see what I'm seeing here today. It doesn't mean that I don't have an observation that that's exactly how we're doing it wrong. And we better step up as a people, a nation, to say we don't want that to continue. And maybe somebody else that we may not necessarily totally agree with, like in Russia, they have an idea on it. Like the Czech lawyer that I would condemn because he's not actually doing the law, he's the one that's motivating the Czech people to step up and say, hey, we got a bunch of mismanagers here. We're being taken down. Are we going to finally stand up? He's been able to do it. And so there's a little evidence that it can happen. I would hope it happens in the United States and elsewhere. And in a way that doesn't get trounced like we've seen in the past. Now, also relative to what's gone on and started from the tensions that started that makes a special operation, another acknowledgement here, another train derailed, peek some ears here, another train derailed. Where, folks? Another one in the United States? Three again in the United States? No, this was an interesting little thing I thought I saw to start maybe looking at things a little bit more. Wondering, again, do we have the war here? But another train derailed by sabotage in Russia region bordering Ukraine. The damage to the railroad track in the Bryansk region has caused a crash, local outlets have reported. They attribute this to sabotage. This happened to be like a second time within a very short time that it happened, where Buttigieg would say that we have thousands of whatever a year, a day, or whatever, dozens a day. They found in Russia, too, was sabotage. So I'm going to ask a question, and it's a question. If two in a war zone is sabotage, how many will it take in the United States before these train derailments become a view that maybe there's a sabotage? Maybe going on. Maybe. Now, I understand we have perception management. We also have a blindness. Maybe there are that many. And a lot of these accidents are happening in the rail yards, the switching yards, but if Russia will work in a war zone and say, hey, two of these was sabotaged, when are we going to be looking to say, we're being sabotaged by whomever, And then we look and see the favor that was given by the regime in Washington to CCP, the Chinese, and their now new position. And I wanted to call our attention to, if there's a potentials for sabotage, who might be doing it? There's a report inside the boom in Chinese migrants at the southern border. Border Patrol apprehension of Chinese nationals at the southern border is a story here. Thousands of Chinese migrants, asylum seekers, have arrived at the U.S. border in recent months, and many more heading north after passing through the treacherous Darien Gap jungle between Colombia and Panama. Now, the floodgates supposedly from Title 42 being released to open up, 4,000 or so a year come in, and they say asylum seekers. Okay, I agree. Maybe. What about if those are saboteurs? And that's just from China. And so we start looking, what Russia says, too, is a sabotage. How many are we getting? When is the United States people going to wake up and look at this and start to roll up their sleeves and start, wherever we have all these problems and everybody that we have to be able to address them, when are we going to call this stuff out and start to make a little bit better control on what seems to be, again, a mismanagement, right? I mean, and if it's a mismanagement with an outcome, that's a plan. The U.S. sets nuclear detectors in Ukraine is another story relative to what the United States started in Ukraine in 2014 that Russia is working against to try and stop. Ukraine was this hybrid state. It was never a full sovereign. The United States agreed that NATO agreed it wouldn't take one inch east, and that lied. Now they're there. Now we're there. What we're seeing, Russia is attempting to do what it needs to do. However, anybody may agree or disagree with it, that's what they're doing. They're talking about an existential threat. They said a year ago or so, just a little over a year, they did not say they would go to nuclear, but they did raise the nuclear alert because of the threats of the United States to do so on the first strike. That all got perturbed in the media, the propaganda machine. United States now comes out to set nuclear detectors in Ukraine. A team has set up a place of sensors that could attribute blame to Moscow in the event of a potential atomic incident. New York Times reports, again, this is the New York propaganda machine time. This is the starting of the lineage of stories, again, ramping up the idea of a nuclear attack potential. U.S. nuclear sensors in Ukraine deployed to scapegoat Russia. And so this is, we see another, the ability to go either way, actually, on this. But if I own the sensors, I get to call who done it in a way. And so this is anticipating, again, a threat that Russia poses that I don't actually think it does. Not to say that they've already said it. If they get attacked in a way that threatens them as a nation, they will defend themselves with the nukes. But they're not going to do it without that attack. And they're also pretty reticent to move forward, very reticent. In fact, it's frustrating to watch Russia work sometimes. They take a lot on the chin before they respond, and then they respond in measured ways so far that I don't see this going on, but it's fomenting an idea that it keeps the story going so that those that aren't paying attention don't read about how this goes on, don't read how the United States is an integral part of the failure there, and will help to solidify the propaganda in people's minds to support this and blame Putin again. It's just a nation. He's not Putin. There's a couple people in there that work. They all work together to look and see whether or not they have to. They're being measured. So it's not just him. The reason behind Washington setting up the sensors across the Ukraine to detect a potential nuclear blast may involve shifting the blame to Russia if a nuclear radioactive weapon is used, or even if it is not used but only reported in Western media. So this is stated by a former U.S. Department of Defense analyst, a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Karen Kwiatkowski. Enough said there. They're setting up the ability to report and call out a problem. I'm wondering also if it's about that depleted uranium. If they fire enough depleted uranium, do those sensors pick it up? And if they start to pick it up, they'll stop firing that so that it can't be blamed on the United States and the U.K., that they're contaminating the land as another side bit. But we also find in the run-up of more nuclear talk, and it really is on the last edge here in a way. It was since last year when Russia heightened its alerts because of what the United States is doing, we now hear no different than New York practicing how to put your head between your legs and kiss your tail goodbye in a nuclear blast. What to know about the FBI-led week-long nuclear training exercise happening in Houston this week? Is the border opening having anything to do with this? I don't know. But the FBI and other law enforcement agencies are letting the public know not to panic if they see a bunch of helicopters and agents in protective gear, as it's just a nuclear response training exercise. Again, beating the drum enough, and I guess enough said, we can see more and more and more. Is this a drill, folks? Is this going to be like another false flag everyone wants to talk about? And then I see this little story here. Russia is a nuclear threat is explained. And it is an interesting explanation. You can go through and see what it is relative to those high alerts that were done last year. I heard some people talking, this, it's happening now. No, it's happened. We've been living underneath this threat, this next step threat, one flick of a switch threat right here for over a year now. President Vladimir Putin conjured up a specter of nuclear war during the last week's fierce fighting in Ukraine, instructing Russia's military to place nuclear forces on high combat alert, a special regime of combat duty, is said here. As you can see the propaganda flowing. They have their reasons for why they're doing it, but it was done then, last year. What I notice in the picture here is where there was a Russian bomber, a Tu-95 bomber, a neat counter-rotating prop plane, being tailed, or if you will, escorted by an F-22 Raptor. Cool planes. I love just aviation's cool. The crafts are cool. But I also recognize here, I'm seeing the 22, like right off the wing of this Tu-95 bomber. I will remind you that the United States just complained in Syria that Russia was too close and that these planes aren't supposed to be closer than a mile. And so again, it's all rhetoric to us. We think that's an insult. Those of us that don't look close, we think that's an insult, and we look past these little things, the little details, showing that the United States is doing everything it complains Russia is doing, and that shouldn't even, that's just he said, she said. What we need to be looking at is more foundational concerns. Do we belong there? Now, moving the world into globalism, and the future they want, token citizenship, never goes away. In the face of all this cover of the war, so-called, which is also going to, hopefully, they're going to hope that if there goes to some kind of a war, it's going to stimulate some kind of economy, that everyone can stop worrying about the economy as they continue to manage it into the outcome they want. The outcome they want is not necessarily not crypto, it's that they want to have control of the crypto. As we see that country, Russia, as I said, they're moving into globalism and the technocracy they want because of the control and the following, the tracking, the shutting off, everything like that. Russia sees crypto as a necessary evil. So while I'm talking about Russia and all that and saying, oh, they have doing their certain things and they're protecting themselves, they're not moving different than even China. What China embraces sustainable development. It's all running down that track. Moscow could permit some digital coins despite apparent risks. And this is, again, the problem of the trying to make profit on it, and they're trying to protect that. But notice that they're controlling the crypto. They're saying it's a necessary evil. Is fiat a necessary evil? Maybe we should talk about that. But Russian minister has warned about the dangers of investing in cryptocurrencies, although it acknowledges that digital assets could be, under certain situations, good. Enough there. The evil would be accepted. The crypto as a whole, of course, is an evil, and I believe that people who invest their savings in it are very much at risk, but there are maybe specific situations where crypto may be useful. This is, again, opening the door where the governments will control that crypto, even if it's private. You will be controlled, as I've been saying. Cryptocurrencies rally amid U.S. banking crisis. This is what's happening. They call it, though, an investment. Why crypto's not that good is because it's an investment. It's not stable enough. It may be good for a medium of exchange that we can agree across borders or elsewhere, you know, through our phones or whatever, through the internet, to make payment on stuff and agree about that as an exchange system. But it's not actually a value that can be relied on because it maintains an investment attachment, and you watch what they're doing to destroy that elsewhere. But crypto's rallying is going to make this private tokening attractive, and why I kept saying the SEC comments necessary to try and kick out exchange definition to include private in transactions. So it's not going to go away, but it's going to be controlled is the point here, and Russia's going to do it. They admit the evil's necessary, but we're going to keep controlling it. Now I want to move quickly here on where that goes. Not only do you have the financial houses like JP Morgan that are going to be a few, then you have the internet that's going to be the clearing gateway, if you will. I want to move now into some Twitter things, what Elon Musk has been going on. I want to put all these together for you. I've been waiting to kind of do this real quick, just to show you how this is moving through. Now, who may be allowed? And again, it's all going to be under verification of identity. Otherwise, you're not going to do a thing. And this is what I noticed, that the town square was going to be someplace that you're authorized to, verified to talk. Well, I don't know about any town square that Elon Musk wants to talk about that you have to be authorized to speak, but this is the subtle change. Twitter announces worldwide account monetization, as I said, what's coming on Elon Musk's own statements, putting the dots together. Twitter has announced an option to monetize accounts, which will allow all of its users to earn money from their posts. Interesting carrot here now. Worldwide creators across the globe can now sign up to earn a living on Twitter. The tap on monetization is setting to apply today. Twitter said content creators can now enable subscriptions to their text, pics, and world video worldwide on the platform, Musk tweeted. A whole lot more here behind it. I won't be able to get to all the details, but we see that Musk announces a new Twitter monetization tool. The platform will not take a cut for the first year under the new system, which will launch days after Substack's notes. Understand he's now doing an inducement to get you to participate. You're going to have to be registered. All your subscribers will be registered. How do you transfer money without them knowing where your bank's accounts are? And so, again, we could read the orientation of this, which was, I said it was coming. I said that's what he did Twitter for. No different than why it didn't seem at the time Microsoft went after, you know, that Skype. And then you saw what they started to do with that and monetize that back in and then keep tabs on who was going and where and why. The billionaire here explained that Twitter will keep no other of the money as an inducement for a year. So after the year, they're going to take whatever they're going to take. Again, you're on his system. You've got your bank accounts tied in, or a bank account tied in for the transfer of this value. They know about you. And he says in a statement here about you're going to do ensure prosperity for the creator. Well, who's the creator of Twitter is the owner of Twitter. You're not the creator. You may think your content's created by you, and you may get paid for it being on the platform, but he's the creator of Twitter, no different than the Federal Reserve, the creator of the fiat currency. You don't own it. You have a right to make a claim against something on it. And he has the control. And don't ever underestimate this point, that where he says he's going to maximize creator prosperity. He's the creator. He's taking a cut. That's just a broker. But prosperity in the new world order here is austerity subject to the ESG, subject to the liability that corporation will be pressed on by the governments in their confinement of how they deal with money. And their liabilities to that. That's what you're going to be subject to under prosperity, which we know A2030 means what? It means austerity. It means sharing responsibility. So he used that word particularly. I hope people picked up on it. Twitter partners with eToro to let users trade stocks, crypto, as Musk pushes app into finance. Just watching how this is developing so quickly now, exactly what he wanted, what I was telling you was going to happen, to bring him into the fold and be centralized. You understand the amount of value he's sitting on with Twitter when he does this as a finance house now, dealing with investment, that everybody like gambling. They love this stuff. And you're going to be verified and accountable to that. Musk pushes Twitter into finance. These stories are on and on now this last few weeks. Social Network's new partnership with an online brokerage will allow stock and crypto trading. Right? So he's explaining now how he's going about doing it. And we kind of go quickly here just to show you that it's here and you can read more about it when you want to see it. Maybe to avoid it, I guess is the point. I don't know about your blue check mark, folks. I don't know why people are getting them, but that's what that's about. But Twitter unveils a hate speech ban, showing you that he's in control. The company will hide some hateful tweets behind a warning screen rather than removing them. Musk has since replaced the stick with a carrot, offering Twitter users the chance to monetize their content and keep all the money that they earn, even though he has the ability to decide to cut you out, calling it hate speech or any other thing to shadow ban you. In a number of ways, we're finding out, is his control that will be allowed. As we also find out, Twitter bans Sean Plunkett, journalist who asked the New Zealand's prime minister to define a woman. Somehow Twitter decides that's not good, and they banned him. Is that you? Oh, and it's gone. Oh, no social credit for you. And this is the power that Twitter, that Elon Musk is moving into with his astonishing $44 billion acquisition of Twitter. Well, more into the future will his profits be, given he pulls this off together, where we see Russia will allow the evil as long as it's regulated. I told you all about this. You take the outlaw, bring him in, regulate him, and now you got him controlled. And even though we have a CEO that knows how to buy, he's got enough money to buy attorneys, a judge knocks back Elon Musk's ridiculous claim in the fatal Tesla crash lawsuit. His statements about auto driving safety could be deep faked. This was kind of a brilliant action because it is a defense you can bring. You need to read a little bit how he does it, but this is what he's willing to do. Musk lawyers invoke deep fake defense. What's interesting is that the first article here says that the Elon's claim was ridiculous. No, it was a defense. And what the judge does in this case, I want you to notice this, the judge actually does due process. When the attorney asserts that there's a deep fake that Elon Musk didn't say in promotion of the car that he said it, that it was a deep fake made to make him sound like he said it, that was only an objection, you know, a challenge to the assertion. It's like saying that that statement was a fraud. The judge here didn't do something, didn't think it was ridiculous, actually took note of it, and actually imposes that Musk must show up and now testify. He's now got to get evidence by testimony to make his statement what it's supposed to be, to make evidence against the assertion, and then the judge will look at that in the future. So contrary to the ridiculousness, it was a valid defense that it could be deep fake because he's so important. And the judge observed that immunity's that's an important, serious immunity claim. But the law requires that he comes in and testifies now, and she's required that. So that's not necessarily ridiculous. That's actually agreeing it was not a ridiculous defense. And moving more to the embracing of these digital apps and who's the third party controllers of it, but we're talking about Block and the maker of the app, Cash App, that was murdered here recently. Block forecast to report another quarter of net losses with all eyes on the Cash App, bringing up this importance in the law, in the rules. Remember, Jack Dorsey's involved in this. Remember, there's a big questions over the legitimacy of what's going on here. This would be the outside of what the governments regulate into compliance that I looked at this and says that they're only talking about, they're just another corporation. They're only looking at profit at loss. They're going to be one of the people that are going to have you controlled. You're going to be registered and known to them, and everything they do is going to, everything that they have to agree to is what you're going to have to agree to if you want to buy or sell in the world. And I hope something I said today gives you an awareness. Hopefully you're going to make some better decisions as we move forward to these very interesting times. Very scary in a way, but not if you're not standing on the tracks and the drain comes through on time. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips or Nature Wave.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like. son. You just opened a whole case of Wolfpath.